You're with Cape Talk.
This is John Matham on Afternoon Drive.
Sunday Times yesterday, one of the stories that I read with great interest was by journalist Claire Keaton, and it is about what is apparently a worsening shortage of vets in South Africa. The managing director of the SA Veterinary Association, Gert Steyn, joins us now. Gert, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, John. Thank you for having me.
How big is the shortage?
Well, it's very difficult to say with precise accuracy, but we've noticed an increasing decline in veterinarians in South Africa. See, the problem is, John, when you go into the South African Veterinary Council, onto their website and their annual report, you'll note there's about 3,500 veterinarians that are registered with the Veterinary Council. However, you need to appreciate that that doesn't mean that all those veterinarians are practicing in South Africa. It might mean that some of these veterinarians have emigrated. It might even be temporary, but they're keeping their registration open in South Africa. So it's very difficult to say with any sort of precise accuracy what the exact shortage would be.
But you're convinced there is a shortage. What leads to that conviction?
Okay, so what we've done is, in the last year, veterinarians were removed from the critical skills list. And we noted with grave concern our members contacting us to indicate that this is becoming a problem for them. So we ran a survey amongst our members, but not only our members, anybody who is a veterinarian in South Africa was allowed to respond. So of the 3,500 registered vets, we got a response rate of about 25 to 30%, which is fantastic for any form of survey.
Yeah.
And what we did is, obviously, a veterinarian would state that, yes, it's a critical skill, there's a shortage. But what we did was, I think, quite innovative. We split the respondents by whether they are employers or employees. Then we asked employers, okay, if you advertised a post within the last 2 years, how long did it take to fill a position? And we asked potential employees, If you were applying for a position, how long did it take you to find a job? Now, interestingly, is that over 60% of positions that are advertised, this is now a combination of rural and urban, are still vacant after 12 months. But if you're a veterinarian trying to find a job, 50% of them find work within 1 month. So it means that there is a critical imbalance. In theory, in a fairly even labor market, one would expect this to be fairly equal around 3 to 6 months.
Okay.
But this is obviously an anomaly.
And before vets were taken off the critical skills list, were there significant numbers of vets employed from elsewhere in the world because they were easier to employ because they're on the critical skills list, the job at least?
Yes. It means that they are able to find visas much easier. To give an example, where it really becomes an issue is that roughly 10% of students at University of Pretoria, which is the only veterinary school in South Africa, are foreign students. And they are also required to complete their registration to complete a compulsory community services year. But now they've studied for 6 years and they are not employable by government because they don't have a visa, and there's no way of expediting that visa. So we as taxpayers are paying for those 6 years for 10% of the students, and they're not allowed or able to find employment for their compulsory community services year, thereby not allowing them to provide critical services in the government space.
Look, we have an issue with doctors as well, and we also have an oversupply of people who want to get into medical schools, and certainly there is an oversupply of people wanting to get into Onderstepoort. And through conversations with deans of medical schools and so on, I know it's not as simple as, at the moment we're turning out 150 doctors, let's make it 300 doctors, because where do the lecturers come from? Where do the people come to do the practical training and so on? But, you know, it's one of the sort of it's one of the gates of heaven places, Onderstepoort. It's really difficult to get into, and is part of the solution not trying to increase the number of graduates that leave Onderstepoort every year.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So there is talk around a second veterinary faculty. We are aware of that potential talk, but that was also part of our survey where we asked our respondents what their view was. And interestingly, they indicated that yes, a second veterinary faculty could potentially alleviate the shortage of vets. However, a massive concern from both academics and general veterinarians were about how do we staff that second veterinary faculty? Because as it is difficult to find certain positions that honest to put have remained unfilled for a period of time. It's very difficult to find lecturers to be able to do that.
Yeah.
And in some cases, in the past, they used to find external employment, being foreign veterinarians to come in. But now, being off the critical skills list, even that is no longer an option. But one of the concerning factors, John, is that if you look at the respondents in our survey that are younger than 45 years of age, 30% of them have indicated that they've either begun the process of immigration or they are very, very certain they're going to immigrate within the next 2 years. And if you include that's proportion which indicates that they want to go work overseas for a limited period of time, say 5 years, that goes up to 48%. So that's half the veterinarians younger than 45 currently in South Africa that's either begun the process or certain that they're going to go overseas, albeit only for a short period of time.
I don't know whether it's ethically advisable or practically possible to make sure that beyond their community service that they, because they are being paid for by the state to such an extent, that they are required to find work in South Africa for a period of 5 years before that overseas adventure becomes possible.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not a lawyer, John, but I'm very sure that something of that nature will be hotly contested.
Yeah.
Because of your allowance of freedom of movement and restriction of certain professions that can or cannot go overseas.
Yeah, I didn't think it was a great idea. So what are the great ideas? I presume you are engaging with the government to try and get vets back onto the critical skills list, but engaging with government can be a very frustrating and time-consuming business.
John, you are absolutely on point. We've been trying to engage with government, various letters, not even as much as an acknowledgement of receipt of letters that we've sent to various ministers on this. So it is becoming rather frustrating, and I think the issue for the listener out there this afternoon is that while we're having this conversation, when we're talking about veterinarians, but what we are missing the point is that veterinarians are basically the custodian of food safety and security in South Africa. It's now 4:30 p.m. In about 2.5 hours' time, your listeners are very likely to have an animal-based protein for dinner tonight. And that animal-based protein, depending on the complexity thereof, has gone at least through three veterinarians before landing up on your plate. And that is the issue. We are potentially compromising food safety and security if we don't secure sufficient employment in urban and rural areas for veterinarians.
What else can you do beyond continue looking at the possibility of setting up a second veterinary school, continuing to engage with government about getting vets back onto the critical skills list? What else?
Well, I think the second veterinary faculty, it's always a long-term horizon. You're probably looking at 8 to 10 years to start a second veterinary faculty. And I think the second portion would be to make South Africa attractive for a young veterinarian to come and work here. If we look at the reasons why the young veterinarians are potentially looking to go overseas, one is economic reasons, and the second one is safety and security. Now, safety and security is unfortunately not only a veterinarian issue, it's pervasive across all industries. But I think in terms of economic reasons, what you need to appreciate, and I'm not sure that our listeners appreciate this, is that a veterinary practice is a little bit different from a general practitioner practice. A veterinarian needs to have radiology equipment. He needs to have an X-ray machine. I'm aware of some veterinary practices that are even putting up MRI machines. It needs to have a laboratory to be able to test blood and blood samples for diseases and any other sort of form of pathogen that might exist in the blood. It needs to have a surgery with fully equipped with lights and sterile and all those things. Now, John, those things cost money. So setting up a typical veterinary practice is vastly more expensive than setting up a typical general practitioner's office. So firstly, buying over an existing practice is very expensive. Secondly, setting up your own practice also is very expensive for the reasons just mentioned. So one would almost need to look at some innovative financing solutions if the banks or commercial or industry can come online to say that it is important that we need to have a veterinary practice, but we need to assist in getting that practice up and running. Because I'm talking upwards of 5 million rands to set up a practice, and then I'm talking very, very basic equipment. Very basic equipment. Not even state-of-the-art stuff, not even an MRI. I'm talking about second-hand x-rays, the cheapest stuff you can find around. So, and to get your return on investment on 5 million rand, you need to have clients walking through that door from day one, from 8 till 5, and open over weekends, which becomes very difficult.
Gert, thank you very, very much for painting that quite bleak picture for us, but it's important we know what the situation is. Gert Steyn is the Managing Director of the South African Veterinary Association.